that you can use as work experience in Canada. But why do Canadian companies require work experience from in Canada from job applicants? Why is that required? Maybe they probably want to be sure that their employees can communicate well in English or French. And employers, if employers and employees can communicate and understand it, each other's language, that would be more productive, right? I suppose that is one of the biggest reasons they require Canadian experience, communication. Anyways, frustration about life is prevalent even as Christians among church attendees. Who assume that they have privilege because they attended the church? Now, there are former members who for many years stopped attending the church. For whatever personal reason, they never informed the church that they will return or they will not. Are they still members of the church? What is your idea? It is written from the Meeples Evangelical Church Constitution, Article 5, Section 7, Cancellation of Church Membership. Church membership may be terminated by 1. Formal request to transfer to another church. 2. Discipline as decided by the congregation, the church. The church will decide if a membership is terminated or not. 3. Death, of course, you cannot attend if you have died, right? And 4, continuous absence for at least 6 months without valid reason for not attending church activities. There are former church members who cannot return to Canada because of health issue, but they still send their offering to this church from time to time. Such is an example of their personal decision of wanting to be church members. So why do attending church is very important matter to be aware of? Well, active members of church have privilege to use the building facilities, for example, for personal or family activities like wedding, anniversary, birthday celebration. Now, if you are an active church members, you may also use our parking lot for driving practices for novice drivers. Anytime you wish, you do not need to ask permission. And there are other legal matters associated with membership. For example, the building insurance. Now, if it is time for you to accept your nomination, if you wish to know more about legal church obligation, that's challenge for you. Well, there are former board of trustees who reject their nomination, maybe because of work demands, or because of disappointment, or they just give opportunities to others to step up as leaders. But each member can be spiritually productive in a ministry participation. In church leadership is an opportunity to be productive spiritually. What is the point of participation in a church ministry as ministry leaders or in other ministry services in the church? What is that in our Christian life? Well, let's reflect on what Christ declares in John 15, verse 16. Let's read together. You did not choose me, but I choose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Take note of that. If you are praying, you expect God to answer your prayer, make sure you are bearing fruit, fruit that will last. How do you practically apply that in your life as Christian? Church ministry participation is like practicum. It's like internship. It's like apprenticeship or on-the-job training that we practically apply what we learn from the scripture. So in church setting, we practice it so that when we go out, it would be like a natural for us doing what we should do as Christians. Now, when at church you are discipling young people, younger believers, outside you will be conscious about discipling others too. Church ministry involvement practically exhibits that we are members of the body of Christ, the church. And we have received the same Spirit, the Spirit of God. Let's read again verse 11 from our passage. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one as He determines. The Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts to each believer. Each believer. No one is exempted. If you are a believer, you have been given spiritual gifts as the Holy Spirit determines what is best for you, for me. Previously, we learned that the same Holy Spirit distributes different kinds of spiritual gifts. We don't have the same spiritual gift. Maybe one, two, three had similar spiritual gift, but not everyone had the same spiritual gift. He also assigns us to different kinds of services. So when others are serving in that ministry, we do not need to, as a church, go to that ministry altogether. Everyone should do different kind of service. The Holy Spirit won't just randomly throw away, distributes spiritual gifts to believers. He determines. So He knows what we need. He determines the kind of service He wants us. He wants each believer to participate effectively. He knows which ministry you would be effective and efficiently productive. Not just productive, being efficient is good. Now, when it says, can you go back to verse 16 of John? It says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." The Lord wants us to bear fruit. Every one of us. Why do Christians need to have spiritual fruit, to be spiritually productive? It is not enough for us. Is it not enough for us to have faith in Jesus Christ? Now, I have faith in Jesus Christ. You may say, is it not enough for me? Well, if you sincerely believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you believe that the Lord had taken all your sins and crucified them with Christ on the cross, if you believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ washed away all your sin, that is enough for you to enter heaven, to be saved from eternal torture. Yes, it is enough. But how can we practically know that we have genuine faith in Christ? And how can we personally know that we did not deceive ourselves into believing that we have faith in Jesus Christ? It's easy to say, I believe, I believe, I believe. Anybody, even non-believers, can say, I believe. Even the devil, the Bible says, believe in one God in shudder, tremble in the presence of God. Did you know that? Together, let's reflect on what our Lord Jesus Christ declares about our personal relationship with Him in John 15, verse 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Imagine, when Apostle John was writing this passage, imagine that situation. Think about Jesus and His disciples. They are walking. going to the Garden of Gethsemane, but they passed by a vineyard on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. And that time, it was springtime. And you know that during springtime, it's time to prune vines. And vine gardeners may have been pruning branches. And the Lord Jesus stopped and let them see how the gardener was pruning the vineyard. And then used that situation. And Jesus said, "I am the vine. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Look at that gardener. He prunes the branches that are not productive, or that are productive, but those that are not productive, he removes. Do you have a grapevine at home? Wait for next spring, I will bring again grapevine seedlings here, and you try to plant. You do not need all the branches when you have that vine. Remove the branches that are not productive, especially vines that are going on the ground. Remove cut the vine. In the spring, the vine would, you would observe when there's this flower and the fruit are coming out of the vine. And you remove that upper portion of it, the extended branch, so that fruit would grow bigger. That is how you prune. Or if you want to know more about pruning vine, you go to YouTube and you will learn more about that. Now, branches that are not productive should be removed. And branches that are productive, that shows that flower or fruit of the vine, should be pruned or cut short. Christ declared he is the true vine, and his Father is the gardener. God the Father cut off unproductive branches, and he prunes productive branches. And who are the branches of Christ, the true vine? Let's seriously reflect on what Christ Jesus, our Lord, declares on John 15, verse 5 to 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Disciples are the branches of Christ. Bearing spiritual proof is practical proof that we are disciples of Christ. So what are fruits of disciples? Disciples. Go and make disciples. The Lord Jesus instructed us, go and make disciples. That is our spiritual fruit as disciples of Christ. But what is the difference between a believer and a disciple? Why is it that the Lord Jesus said in verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple? Why did he not say, showing yourself to be my believer, my follower? Why disciple? Disciple is like a student learning from teacher. That is what it means to be disciple, to learn from the teacher. Apply it, what you learn. So disciples, they are growing spiritually mature. A believer can be a disciple, but there are believers who have not grown spiritually mature into disciples. They are just believers, but they have not grown into disciples. Why? They have not produced fruit, disciples. are you a believer and a disciple? At the same time, a disciple, or just remain as believer? Both believers and disciples, they are spiritual branches of Jesus Christ, that true vine. But God, the gardener, determines and prunes branches that are productive in His kingdom. Ask yourself, when you leave this sanctuary and go home, remember that you heard it. And ask yourself, am I a productive believer of Christ? If you are productive, then you'll become disciples. Don't remain stagnant in your spiritual life. Pray that God enable you to produce fruit of disciples. The Holy Spirit of God gives us spiritual gifts that we use to be productive. Whatever spiritual gift that He gives you, use that. You sense that you would like to worship the Lord. The song we sang a while back, the reason I live is to the reason we live is to worship the Lord. Our activities, our mind, everything we do should be expression of worship to the Lord. The Holy Spirit gives spiritual gifts so that we can be productive. When He prompts us, when the Holy Spirit prompts us, and we participate in the ministry, can you go back to verse 7? It says, if you remain in me, my word remains in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done to you. What does it mean, my word remains in you? The word of God, His instruction, His prescription, is effective and active, and we follow what He says, and then ask whatever you wish. It will be done to you. Personally, have you already proven that to be true? Together, let's reflect on what it prescribes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 22. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. Now, what do you mean by contempt? Contempt means you ignore the Word of God. You ignore the prophecies. You treat us, this is not valuable or cheap. You treat us cheap. That is how you show contempt to prophecies. The Holy Spirit is like fire that lights the transformational work of Christ in our lives. For acquaintances, for observers to see, they would see in us the work of Christ. How can anyone quench the Holy Spirit? How can anyone stop the fire of the Holy Spirit? It says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. How does it quench the Holy Spirit? But test them all, so that it will not be quenched. Test them all. Now, the New Testament prophecy is a spiritual gift. The gift of communicating, gift of revealing, the gift of declaring the purposes of divine truth of God. It is also admonishing, preaching, rebuking wickedness. It is also, prophecy is also about comforting the afflicted, revealing hidden things, or foretelling the future events. They are considered prophesying. Now, if you ignore a preaching, admonition, a rebuke, if you ignore, if you treat us, that has no value to me, or despise or abhor the message to us, that is quenching the Holy Spirit. Preachers are modern-day prophets. And we are advised not just blindly follow any preacher. Test them all. Test every message that you hear. When it tickles your ears, listen carefully. That could be something else. That could be something like, oh, is this really true? But if it pricks the heart when you are rebuked, ask the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom. Is this from you? Test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject all kinds of evil. Now, ministry participation becomes practical training to discern what is good and reject what is evil. We can help each other. We can advise each other. Be prayerful. Of course, there will be frustration. There will be disappointment that may possibly happen in ministry involvement. But remember, Christ is the head of the church. We, the church, are the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. And the Lord distributes different kinds of spiritual gifts to function in different kinds of services as the Holy Spirit determines it. We don't reject or we don't say, oh, I'm not good at that. Don't say that. You may say, well, you may reject, but listen carefully. When the Holy Spirit is at work, He will prevail. Again, I have this good illustration that happened to me personally. When I rejected, when I said, no, Lord, you don't allow me to stand behind that pulpit. I said that because I was scared. I was very shy. Even now, I was scared to stand before others. If I can stand before you now, it is the grace of God at work. So when you are rejecting a ministry, rejecting, for example, your nomination because you are scared to be a leader, you will be scared to stand here because leaders are most often stand behind the pulpit or behind or in front of people. When the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, He will give you that peace, joyful peace, determination to follow Him. Frustration in the church may happen, but remember that we belong to the same body of Christ, that church. If you are a believer, we belong to the same body of Christ. Let's read again verse 12 of our passage. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Now, each part of the body has different function. The hands has different function. The feet has different function. The nose cannot walk. The ears cannot walk or cannot jump, right? I don't know if your eyebrow can jump. Each part can be trained to be efficient in activities we want to participate. If you want to participate in the music ministry, you train your mouth, your voice, your vocal cord, your diaphragm to sing, right? Even your fingers, you train to use it when you play piano or the drums or the guitar. If you play billiard or tennis or dart, basketball, volleyball, or gymnastics, you should train your hands and feet. If you play chess or boggle or scrabble, you train your brain and also your lower back. Because when you play chess, you sit down there very long time, so you need to have a strong lower back while sitting, right? If you go hiking, you go driving, long driving, you're biking, or even fishing, you need to train to be patient. You're trained to be patient. If you are not patient when you are driving, you will be in trouble. Even in baking, even in cooking, or knitting, or gardening, or just simply washing dishes. It also requires coordination of some part of the body to be proficient. Have you tried washing dishes? Who among you did not wash their own plates or cups? Have you broken a glass before while washing, or broke a mug? I did. It means it needs coordination. It needs practice. No, I don't want to do that. I can only break plates. Everyone may have experienced that. The same is true with office works and manual labor works. If you are in office work, you need to know how to encode, right? You train your fingers to type or encode faster. We need training in every activity. And we have to make sure that each part of our body functions really well. You don't like dragging your feet, right? Well, there are parts of our body that may not be doing anything somehow. They are just for display, like the hair. You need a hand to comb their hair because the hair cannot comb its hair itself, I should say. You comb the hair or cut your hair because the hair cannot cut itself, right? And we are part of the body of Christ, the church. And Christ is the head of the church. Let's reflect what it declares about Christ in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body. The church is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. As personal reflection, we ask ourselves, do Christ have supremacy in all things that I do? Christ shed his blood on the cross. He washed all our sins so that we become blameless to God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are blameless to God? Do you claim that you are a Christian? Do you claim that you are a believer? Then you should not be saying, I'm just a sinner. Because before God, you are now blameless. By faith, the Lord took all our sins and crucified them on the cross. The shed blood of Jesus washed away all our sins. So before God, you are now blameless, faultless, if you believe that reality. But you ask, but Pastor, I still commit sin from time to time. Yes, we do. We commit sin. But we ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins. When we repent of our sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. How does he do that? You who are washing your clothes, you put soap, right? Detergent soap. And then because you want it whiter, you put bleach or Clorox or whatever. How you want it to be more white, much whiter. And the Lord continue to purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that? Have you sensed it? If the Holy Spirit has produced joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control in your life, have you sensed that? Do you have that joy leading? Do you have that joy singing, participating in the ministry? Now, if you have prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but still feels like you just cannot endure teaching children. I don't have the joy in children, teaching children for whatever reason. Try other ministries. until you discover the ministry you enjoy, even with difficult challenges. Personally, how do you interpret what it declares in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13? So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the likeness of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now it is the Lord who gives the church apostles. Apostles pertains to missionaries. Apostle, it comes from the Greek word apostolos, which means sent out. And missionaries, we sent out to start churches. And prophets are modern-day preachers. And evangelists, they are called to share the gospel of Christ, to share, evangelize, or share the gospel, good news. And pastors and teachers, they take care of the church, spiritual growth. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, assigned these offices to equip, to teach, to help every member of the church. It's part of the church. To work for service, why? Because serving the Lord, service is designed for our spiritual growth. When we serve, we practice our spiritual gift. That is when our faith grows stronger in the Lord. If you are not involved, I don't know if your faith would grow, but it says to equip his people for work of service. This is the Bible, so that the body may be built up, so that we grow strong. Built up means to grow muscles, like spiritual muscles. If you are not exercising, and you take like supplements, food supplements or something, and you expect your muscles to grow, I don't know if you grow that muscle. Same is true with the spiritual muscles. Spiritual growth, we need to be active. And attending church should progress to involvement in church ministries. Why? Our goal is to reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Unity in the church, it practically proves that we got the same baptism in the Spirit of Christ. Let's read again verse 13 of our passage. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Look at that. For we were all baptized by one Spirit. What happens? To form one body, the church, body of Christ. The term baptized, in Greek, baptizo, is translated immersed or submerged or deep under. We are baptized in one Spirit so as to form one body. Christ gave us the same Spirit. And we are immersed. We are submerged in his body, included in the church. The Holy Spirit baptized believers to form the body of Christ, the church. So inclusion in the body of Christ is formalized by church membership. Being immersed or submerged in the body of Christ is practically assures us that we are adopted into the family of God. As part of the body of Christ, the church ministry participation serves as pragmatic manifestation of the transformational work of His Spirit in our life as individual Christian. So when there's harmonious unity in the church, it practically proves the active work of the Holy Spirit among us. How do you interpret when it says, we were given the one Spirit to drink? How do you interpret that? Well, when you're playing basketball or go biking, you become thirsty, you drink water. Water you drink becomes part of your body, your system. It refreshes you. And the Lord declares in John 7, verse 38 to 39, whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. The Holy Spirit refreshes us. Will the Holy Spirit refresh me when I'm so tired at work, when I'm so tired making my assignment? What do you think? When the Holy Spirit produces joy and peace, even when you are physically tired, you have that joyful peace in your heart. In this world, we experience temporary gratification. When you eat your favorite food, later you will be hungry after many hours. You drink refreshment, later you would be thirsty again. Like for example, you buy your new car because you want that new car. After few months, as if you have no brand new car. Material things, pleasure in this world offers are temporary. How many times have you traveled and you always tell about your experiences in your travel? You want to recall that you go to this place, beautiful place, and always tell your friend, you know, when I was there, I was really happy. I'm so excited. How many times you would like to tell other people like that? You only maybe tell once, twice, and then it seems like become normal. It's not very exciting anymore. After a while, we still sense some sort of craving. We still sense that thirst. We crave for food. We crave for drinks. We crave for materialism. We crave for adventure. We crave for fame. We crave for power. We crave about winning. For example, politics. Politics pragmatically shows the craving for power and fame. This is a human nature. The thirst for fame. There are young people join the political arena, and there are still older people. They should be retired, and yet they are still there, actively involved in politics. That's human nature. In comparison, the Lord Jesus tried his best to evade being involved in politics. Didn't you know that? The Lord Jesus did not want politics. Together, let's reflect on what it narrated in John 6, 14 to 15. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Think about that. Here is an example that Jesus Christ never tried to force anyone to accept him as Lord and Savior. He did not force, but he wanted us. People wanted him to be their leader, their king, but the Lord wants believer. The Lord wants us to be baptized and immersed by the Holy Spirit of God so that we would be refreshed. Jesus Christ is the author of life. He knows very well life in its fullness we can ever experience in this world, in the next life. Do you think that you are living a life like it's still empty? You are not yet satisfied with your life. Ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me experience that fullness of life you prepared for me. He declared in John 16, 13, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. Even the life you are craving, the Holy Spirit will lead you there. It's not what we think. It's that would make us happy or fulfilled in this life or satisfied. Some people think that if they have this or they have that, they will be satisfied. And you observe that. If I only have that cell phone, newest cell phone, I would be happy. And then a few years later, you don't like that cell phone anymore. You want the newer one. Did you experience that? Pray and ask to receive the Holy Spirit of God for you to know how you may live your life in its fullness that Christ offers to all believers. The Lord Jesus declared, I have come that you may have life in its fullness. Have you read that? The Holy Spirit of Christ guarantees that we are included as adopted children of God. Therefore, discover and practice your spiritual gifts for you to personally sense your baptism, your immersion by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit produces fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control in your life, you cannot help but praise God and thank God. When you lay down and sleep at night, you think like, Lord, thank you for this life. Thank you for bringing me here in Canada, land of abundance, you who are Canadian. Do you have that every time you go to sleep? Being with Christ in our heart will be filled with praise and gratitude. You would rather have singing praise than shouting complaints and grumbling about your boss, about your teachers, about the government, about your parents, grumbling, complaining about the community, complaining about the traffic. Have you been in the traffic before? It's construction season, so it's traffic in Winnipeg. How many of you are complaining that you've been driving so slow? I'm in Canada, but this is so slow. You're complaining about that. But if you have that Holy Spirit in your heart, instead of complaining, you would just be playing your Christian song and singing while waiting for the traffic to move, right? Have you experienced that? Complaining about how low your salary is. You know what? Those people who have high salaries are complaining about their low salaries. How much do you receive? Minimum wage? What is minimum wage in Canada? 37,000. You know the pilots of airlines, how much they receive annually? 100,000. Yet they are complaining that their salary is low. How about you? It's not about how much we receive, because those are examples. They are not satisfied with hundreds of thousands of salaries they receive. They complain. It's the Holy Spirit of Christ who gives us that satisfaction. When the Holy Spirit of Christ prevails in our life, we experience fullness of life. Let's stand together as we reflect on what we have heard this morning. If you are here in this sanctuary, or you who are watching online, if you have that complaint in your heart, grumbling about anything, problem, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to increase your faith in Jesus Christ. Ask the Lord to help you believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Now, before God, we are blameless because the shed blood of Jesus Christ washed away all our sins so that we do not experience complaining. Instead, we sense in us joyful peace.